all things were made through him. All things. Everything came from him. Do you understand? He says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation. The message today is titled, Laodicea, the Lukewarm Church. You know, the lukewarm Christian is comfortable, complacent, and does not realize his need. If he were cold, at least he would feel it, amen? Let's get to the message now. Here's Pastor Bill.
We're going to look at Laodicea. Now, a lot of people pronounce Laodicea, Laodicea. Now, those are the people that live in California, okay? I'm a Texan, and I just pronounce words the way I feel it, okay? To me, it's Laodicea, and so don't send me an email and say, Bill, it's Laodicea. No. Now, with all that being said, we look at this lukewarm church this morning, this the word that the Lord has given to us. Remember that this seventh letter is one of the seven letters, okay, that's written by Jesus to the seven churches. They are historical churches there in Asia, which is modern Turkey, and they're a direct message not only to them in the first century, but they are a message, all seven letters, to every Christian and to every church in every age. Amen? So with all that being said, as we already know, we've studied these out, that these are seven letters of seven churches, seven distinct periods of church history. Now, we know that out of the Great Reformation came many mainline denominations. But actually, today, there are only two churches on earth, okay? There is the Faithful Church, the one that we studied last Sunday, the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, the church who was, Jesus had not one word to rebuke them. They were just a great church. They were doing everything the Lord wanted them to do. They were winning the lost. And of course, the Great Awakening came out of all of that and so forth, historically in our time period. And now that church is the church that whenever the Great Tribulation, before it starts, they will be raptured. Now, but the apostate church then and today, they're going to go through the Great Tribulation period. They're going to be left behind at the rapture. We want to make sure we are always in the Church of Philadelphia. Amen? Now, Jesus didn't have one good thing to say about the church at Laodicea. Now, with all that being said, I want you to get a historical picture of this place. Matter of fact, I would encourage you to go online and just Google, you know, Laodicea. Man, Bill, you know what I'm saying? And if you would do that, it's remarkable. I mean, if I ever get to go over there, I definitely want to visit that area. Of course, it's all demolished today and so forth. It's just the ruins, but they are absolutely, they're spectacular. It's unbelievable. And so I want to get a picture of this city. Number one, it is beautiful. It's up in elevation, and then below it is the Lycus River and so forth that runs through it. And there's mountains all the way around, and then in the winter there's snow all over them. And this city, man, it was the retirement mecca, if you will, okay? I mean, everybody, all the Roman provinces, that's where they wanted to come. They wanted to stay there and retire there. And this city was founded by Antiochus II, and about 250 BC, I believe. And he named the city after his wife, so Laodicea. And then I guess he really loved her. Unfortunately, a little later on, he divorced her, but I don't know what happened with that. Now, with all that being said, this area, the city there, It was set in a major trade route area, and it tied in all the big cities around it, okay? And so it was very popular, and it was also, again, it was filthy rich. These people, it was unbelievable, the money that was in Laodicea. And with all that being said, they were the center of textile production. They were a major banking center. They had an incredible wool industry, and they had one of the most famous medical schools in all of the world. It's unbelievable. Now, let me tell you how rich this city and these people were. In AD 60, Laodicea was completely destroyed by an earthquake, okay? But this city was so prosperous, and they had so much money, they rebuilt the entire city. And if you go and look at the ruins, man, I mean, it is unbelievable. They rebuilt this city with their own money. They refused to take money from Rome. Rome said, no, you're going to take, no, we don't want it. They were so rich that all the other cities, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the ones that were destroyed in the earthquake as well, they paid money out of their own pocket and rebuilt those cities. So we're talking about a place that is very, very rich. So the Lord now is going to describe to us the character of the apostate church then and in today, the church that's going to exist in the last days. And again, he's not going to have anything good to say about this church. Let's begin verse 14. Jesus is writing and he commands John. He says, and to the angel, or that's the pastor, remember, to the angel of the church of, it should be in, but it's the church of the Laodiceans, write. He said, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So the Lord opens up with this church, and he gives a very, very unique description of himself. Matter of fact, it's a threefold description of who he is. Now, the word Laodicea, we covered it not too long ago, but that word literally means, translates into our language as the rule of the people, okay? So the church in Laodicea, the people ruled it. Jesus didn't rule it. The Holy Spirit didn't rule it. They were led by the flesh. They were not led by the Holy Spirit. They were not led by the Lord at all. Matter of fact, they were led by their own wisdom, not God's wisdom. And not only that, if you go and study the history, they even had a temple that was dedicated to men. The temple of men, they called it. And so this was a man-ruled city and a man-ruled church. This last day's church, and it's even today, is a lot the same. This is the kind of church that, in other words, they're all things to all people. They're rich. They have everything they need. And whatever you are, no matter your lifestyle, hey, come on in. You fit with us. You're going to be taken care of and loved and so forth. That's why Jesus says who he is three different ways. He says, write these things, saith the Amen. Amen is a transliteration from Hebrew into this language here, and it literally means this. The Amen means the true one, or it means so be it. Now, we just prayed a moment ago. We ended our prayer time. I said Amen. That's the way we end our prayers. But did you know that right here in Scripture, this is the only place in the New Testament where Amen is literally given a proper name? Jesus says, I'm the Amen. I'm the true one. I am the yes. I am the so be it. He's telling this church here, he says, listen, I want you to know who I am, because you don't know who I am anymore. And he goes and he said, my name is the Amen. And Amen is the word for Almighty God. If you go to Isaiah, you don't have to go there, but you can look at it later. Isaiah, I think it's 65:16. It is the name of God. So Jesus, our Lord, he is God's, the Father. He's the final Amen. He's the final truth. He's the final so be it to every person in every generation. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, when you study out the Word of God, you find out that Paul, what did he say about the Amen, our Lord? He says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him, meaning in Jesus, is yes. And in him, in Christ, in Jesus, Amen, meaning all the promises of God in Christ are yes. Every one of them are true. Every one of them are, so be it. Amen? What a word is that? The problem was, this church here did not believe in the deity of the Lord anymore. They didn't believe he was the Amen. That's why Jesus is telling them who he is. And you say, well, Bill, how do you know that? Well, because Paul the Apostle, he happened to pen a letter to the church at Colossae. And that's the only epistle that mentions the church at Laodicea and even Hierapolis as well. Let me read what Paul said in Colossians 2, 1. Paul writes, I want you to know what a great conflict or a great agony I have for you and those in Laodicea, and it's for many who have not seen my face. Why was Paul, if you remember our study in Colossians, why was Paul in such great agony about that church and Laodicea as well? The reason is because false teachers, they had come in. They were the Gnostics. Remember the Gnostics? They did not believe in the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus wasn't enough to save you. The only way that you could truly be saved, according to their false doctrine, is that it would be Jesus plus something else. And what the something else was their secret knowledge. So they didn't deny Christ. They didn't deny the Lord, but they did dethrone him. Now, I'm not for sure, I can't prove it, that teaching, did it go into Laodicea? Because I know that the church started out loving Jesus, but it didn't end up loving Jesus, okay? So obviously something happened. So he says, I am the Amen. And then Jesus says again, look at this one. He says, the faithful, these things saith the faithful and true witness. You know, Jesus is true, isn't he? Think about that. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the light of the world. Man, and he's our Lord, amen? Everything Jesus says is true. The book of Revelation, which is hardly ever taught in churches anymore, and should be taught, because it pronounces a blessing upon everyone who hears it, reads it, and keeps it, amen? We're being blessed right now, whether you know it or not. But the fact is that it's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that means the word revelation, apocalypse, means the unveiling, the uncovering. We're seeing Jesus like he has never been seen in the Gospels, okay? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's our glorified Savior, amen? Now, he's going to this church, he says, listen, I am faithful, I am true, I'm the faithful witness. And he said, everything I say is absolutely true. As a matter of fact, everything in God's word is true. You know what Jesus said about the word of God? He said in John 17:17, he says, thy word, O God, is truth. We have the truth from heaven. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us when he returns over in Revelation 19:11, remember, he's going to be on that white horse and he's coming back, and on him is a name, and that name that is written is, he is faithful and he is true. At the end of that scripture, it says, and he's coming to make war. Whew. You talk about the wrath of the Lamb, amen? Now, the next one is the most important to me. Although it's all important, this is really important. He goes, he said, these things says the beginning of the creation of God. You know, the cults today, they love that phrase. They love it because what they teach in there, they try to prove that, see, Jesus is a created being, or Jesus is actually Michael the archangel. You've heard all those things from the cults. No, 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 loved one. And they get this so wrong because Jesus, did Jesus begin in Bethlehem? No. Has Jesus always been? Yes. John 1:10. He came to his own and his own received him not. Think about that. Listen, he didn't begin at Bethlehem, loved one. Jesus has always been. So when you see that word where it says the beginning of creation, the word beginning there means the source of our origin of everything, okay? He's the beginning of everything. So here, Christ himself, he is the origin or the source of creation. Someone put it this way, Jesus is the uncreated creator of all things. I like that. Now, remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. It says, and he was in the beginning with God. Now, listen carefully. all things were made through him. All things. Not a single thing that exists. Everything came from him. Do you understand? He says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is the agent of everything that we see. He is the agent of all creation. He's the one who spoke. Do you understand? He's the agent of creation. So what is Jesus doing? He is telling this church who he is because they don't know or they no longer believe who he is. But here's the problem. They don't know that. The church at Laodicea, they don't know their true spiritual condition. Listen to me, church. For a Christian, if you're wrong about who Jesus is, you're going to be wrong about who God is. You're going to be wrong about what Christianity is. You're going to be wrong about everything in the Bible if you don't know that Jesus Christ is God. Amen? He is the God-man. He's seated at the right hand of God, and one day he's coming for his church. Amen? Very, very important. Now, I want you to do something. Let's press this just a little deeper. Hold your place and go to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, and Paul, what I'm about to read, he penned from a prison cell of one. And what I'm about to read is the clearest presentation of the supremacy of Jesus Christ in all Scripture, all right? Beginning in chapter 1, verse 15, about Jesus. It says, he is the image of the invisible God. In other words, he is the exact full revelation of God. Jesus makes the invisible God visible. Amen? It says, he is the firstborn, or he existed before, prior to all creation. He's the firstborn over all creation. And for by him all things were created. The Big Bang, the cosmic slime, all the rest. Come on, church. No. Jesus said, listen, by him all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible, that's what we can see, invisible, things that we don't see, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. Everything, loved one, began with Jesus, and everything is going to end with Jesus. Amen? And he says, and Jesus, what? Is before all things. He's existed before there was anything. He's always been. And it says, and in him, I love this, how many things consist? All things. That word means, consist means to be held together. Jesus is not only the creator of all things, he sustains everything that he has created. Does that make sense? He holds the universe, the world, us, everything. He holds it together. The whole world's in his hands, let's put it that way. Man, and when he releases it, there's going to be a problem. Did you know that? So he sustains all things, and it says, and he is the head. The head, not man, not any religious denomination. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, meaning all true Christians, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why? That in all things he may have the what? Preeminence, meaning first place in everything. There's not a name greater than the name of Jesus Christ. And listen, Jesus not only created all things, but are we created? Yes. Listen to me. Aren't you glad that God created you? Aren't you glad that he chose you in Christ before the world was ever formed? That means that you're not a mistake. You have a purpose. God loves us. Listen, go back to Revelation, but look, and let's look at Jesus in chapter 4, just for one verse, verse 11. Revelation 4:11. He says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And he tells us why. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. I like the King James Version better. It says, and for your pleasure. You know that we give God pleasure? Think about that. Now, Jesus just did something. He tells this church, he tells every generation, okay, every generation of believers, he says this, I am the true and I am the faithful witness. I created all things. I was before all things. I am everything that you will ever, ever need. Amen? The problem was this church that we're studying this morning, they thought they had everything, but they didn't, because they did not have Jesus, okay? We'll find that out in a moment. So what does he do? Jesus is now going to tell us and tell them their true spiritual condition. Look at verse 15. Jesus says, I know your works. Do you see all the works that are listed there? There's not any. In other words, I know your works. You don't have one work. You don't have anything. You may have read the Bible. You may be a hearer of the word, but you've never done the word. He said, you look like a church. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power therein. And so Jesus is saying, I know what you don't know. I know your true spiritual condition. Do you know that he knows our true spiritual condition too? Amen? Look at verse 15 again. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I could wish you were cold or hot. In the Greek, it would read this way. I wish that you were ice cold, or I wish that you were boiling hot. Now, why would Jesus say that? One extreme to the other. Well, number one, Jesus can work, the Holy Spirit can work in the coldest, meanest, darkest heart in all the world. Did you know that? And he can work in a passionate, on fire heart that loves the world, not Jesus, but loves the world. He says, I can work in those things. He says, but the problem is you're neither hot nor cold. He says, so then, because you are neither hot or cold, he says, because you are what? Lukewarm. That's the only place in the entire New Testament, okay, that word is used. You are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Look at these kind words from Jesus. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Can you believe that's in Scripture? The King James is a little bit more tender. The King James says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Jesus just gets right to the point. He's not polite. He doesn't say, up chuck, You know what I'm saying? No, he says, I am a projectile savior. I'm going to vomit you. Or no, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What does that mean? He's saying, you're not mine. You don't belong to me. You're not part. You taste terrible. You're not part of my spiritual body. I'm not the head of this church that you have in Laodicea. That's what he's saying. Now listen, don't let someone tell you that word lukewarm. I'm just a lukewarm Christian. No, you don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Amen? Okay. No, people say, well, Bill, these are just carnal Christians. No, they're not carnal Christians. Bill, they're backsliders. No, they are not backslidden Christians, loved one. This bunch, the church of the last days, Laodicea, the apostate church, they're not saved. They are not born again at all. They are lukewarm. They're tepid. They're indifferent, if you will. So listen carefully. I really encourage you to go online and study out the archaeology and the landscaping, the beauty there in Laodicea. Okay? It's unbelievable. And when you go back and study their history and so forth, they had Laodicea's aqueduct system. Is that how you pronounce it, aqueduct? The thing is their water system, the aqueduct that they had, it was. I've seen pictures of it. It's an engineering marvel. It's just uncanny. It's just unbelievable how they put all of that together. And so, their water that they received there in that city was so carefully planned and laid out. I'm talking about miles of piping and so forth, so the people could have drinking water in that city. So the thing is, they received their water from two different cities in that area, from Hierapolis, which is about 6 miles to the north. They were famous for their incredible boiling hot springs, okay? So one water supply there at Hierapolis, the other one was from Colossae, 11 miles south, and they were famous for the ice-cold freezing water that came down from the mountains into the streams and so forth. Now, they put all of that together, all right? And so when you have that cold water coming and the hot water coming, by the time it reaches Laodicea, it was lukewarm.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will complete this message tomorrow, and we hope you'll tune in once again. We want to thank you for listening with us. So long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.